It's 2 o'clock on a Tuesday, and that means it's time for a conversation with Elizabeth Barrett, the Reluctant Therapist. What's on your mind today, Elizabeth?
Brad, I am so excited for today's conversation because it has been probably 3 years in the making to pull off this interview.
Wow.
Yes. And you know how when you get really excited about something, you start to overthink it? Like, in some ways, I'm an over-organized.
I have no experience with this whatsoever.
And then I got so excited, then my voice started to go. So I'm going to jump right into it today because one of the things that concerns me as a grandmother and as a mother and as a professor and all those ways that I tend to and care for the future generations is that so many young people have no hope for their future. They talk about not wanting to get married, not wanting to have children, not wanting to invest in their communities or buy a home, all because they don't see where the planet is going to sustain them or their future families in any way. And so why bother? And that's so distressing because that's the thing that has kept us going as human beings for centuries and generation after generation is this idea that we would continue on, that things would improve, that we would always be able to care for each other, that we would find our way. And right now, there doesn't seem to be that hope. And so from my wise elder, I'll just put the elder part and then maybe the wise piece of it, I've always looked for ways that I can talk to my young people with hope in my voice. Like, here's the path. This is how we go forward. And I came across in numerous ways over the last few years, the idea that our future resides in the soil, that if we can regenerate and bring back the health of the soil on our planet, we can create a sustainability that will carry on forever. And that hope that people are looking for is right underneath our feet all the time. But for some reason, we've had a hard time translating that message out to enough people so that they would get on board and see, oh, this idea of a future is actually possible, and it's not as hard as we think it is. And so I came across the work of Kiss the Ground, which is a nonprofit championing regeneration and healthy soil as a solution for human and planetary health through storytelling, education, and partnerships in the regenerative movement. Basically, Kiss the Ground has made it their mission to spread the word in such a way that we'll reach a tipping point. And if you're familiar with Malcolm Gladwell's work, he talks about this tipping point where when enough people have information or change their idea or opinion about a topic, that opinion tips us to the new direction. And so the tipping point number is 25%. And so Kiss the Ground through storytelling and partnerships, getting the word out, is working towards reaching that tipping point of awareness and information to 25%. Just in the last 2 to 3 years, they've raised public awareness from 4% to 13%. So they're well on their way of getting there. And can you imagine how incredible it would be to recognize as a community or as a people that there is a way forward and that we can all be a part of it and that it's doable. We don't have to wait for permission from the government or for some great chemical revolution or for some magic pill that's going to change it all. It really exists already in front of us. So my guest today is the CEO of Kiss the Ground, Evan Harrison. He's come all the way up from San Diego to talk about the work that they're doing because it's something that's so important to him, getting this mission statement out to the public, making sure we hit that 25%. So we're going to spend the hour talking about what Kiss the Ground is doing, how people can get involved, and what the path is leading forward into this fabulous future, so that my grandchildren will have lovely soil to sustain them for their life. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. And you're welcome to be part of the conversation today by giving us a call at 805-781-3875 if you have a question or comment. You can also find me after the show at elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com, or you can leave me a message on Instagram or Facebook. Today we've got posts, so you can check it out. Leave a message there as well. And as always, you can find our previous shows at kcbx.org Or you can, wherever you find your podcasts, podcast our show through Spotify, NPR Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. Just search for A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. Hit subscribe. If you leave a review, more people can join us as well. And as always, we appreciate your continued support right here. We're going to take a quick break and come back and start our conversation with Evan Harrison right here on Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. You can feel it.
Summer. I feel like summer. I feel like summer. You can feel it in the streets on a day like this. That heat, I feel like summer. She feel like summer.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with the Reluctant Therapist. Evan Harrison, thank you so much for coming up and spending the hour with me.
Thank you for inviting me. I've been looking forward to this.
I know, because we chatted, it seems like, months ago, and finally this date has come, so I'm excited. I'm going to introduce you a little bit to everyone. Evan Harrison is the CEO of Kiss the Ground, which is the leading nonprofit promoting regeneration and healthy soil as a viable solution for human and planetary wellness. Since Evan joined in 2022, you've accelerated the organization's mission and growth via education, strategic storytelling, and partnerships, working with brands like Anthropologie and Spindrift. And also during this time, Kiss the Ground has nearly doubled, but it seems like almost tripled at this point, awareness of regenerative agriculture while reaching more than 1 million individuals monthly. You have used your background working over the course of your career, building audiences in the media industry, including being a founding president of digital at iHeartRadio, and then your roles at AOL Music and Univision. And you've also launched transformative initiatives for Kiss the Ground, such as the $500,000 that has been directly given to farmers through your grant programs, then creating award-winning content series geared towards reaching the tipping point that I mentioned earlier, 25%, about regenerative agriculture. Wow. So I guess my first question is, why did you move from your work in digital and radio and AOL Music and iHeart to something like Kiss the Ground? What brought you to wanting to work for a nonprofit?
A bunch of things lined up, and it kind of fell into place very organically, but the quick answer is my kids.
Okay.
We've moved around a lot, and I've always been very grounded in that I am in the music industry. And I'm going to go wherever in the music industry seems to make the most sense, wherever my curiosity brings me.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, my son auditioned for a really competitive art school in Los Angeles, and we were living in I was working locally in Colorado for the first time I ever did a local job. And he decided to throw a little wrench into that plan. Got into a great school in LA. My wife and I said, all right, let's go. We quit our jobs. And it was time to look for what's next. And what I found was the work that I was so passionate about doing for so long in the music industry really wasn't exciting to me anymore. The industry, the digital music space really matured. And it just didn't feel new and exciting. And I always was on the board of a nonprofit that I was passionate about while I had corporate jobs. And while I was doing work for the Surf Rider Foundation, my daughter would come with me. She would get to see her dad, who wore a suit to work most days, rent a U-Haul, roll up his sleeves, carry tables, set up, and help produce these events. And she in turn got very passionate about sustainability. And you know, she started asking me a lot of questions. She started volunteering locally. And she asked me to help promote a free movie screening she was doing, as she put it, for some really cool environmental film with some old guy I probably had heard of narrating it. And she gave me the sizzle reel to edit down so I could promote this at a music festival I was promoting. And it was Woody, and it was Kiss the Ground, the film. And I looked at that and said, whoa, I'd never heard of regenerative farming. Like, what is this? And that kind of opened my mind to, well, maybe my next chapter should be seeing if my skill set is applicable to really help kickstart the youth movement, because there was a lot of passion and a lot of what you said, you know, I see to be true in your opening monologue of, you know, there's a bit of a disenfranchised feeling of, hey, you're leaving us. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you had a great time. We hear about how great your childhood years were, and, you know, beaches are closed now because of runoff, you know, all of the challenges that we're facing. And, you know, I just decided if I could find the right environmental / wellness opportunity where my leadership could be of use and assistance to really kickstart the next generation, that would be time well spent.
And so did you just call up Kiss the Ground and say, hey, I'm really good storyteller? How did this come about? Were they, you know, looking for a change of direction or a direction that you were interested in?
Yeah, so the film came out in 2020, and I didn't discover it until probably 6, maybe 9 months after it came out during the pandemic. And they were not on my hit list by any stretch, but I was in touch with a recruiter talking about a job that on paper made a lot of sense for me in the environmental space. And they weren't, even though I knew a couple of the board members, they didn't want to interview me for the job for a whole host of reasons. And he said, but have you heard of Kiss the Ground? Because I got hired to do a search. I have about 300 candidates.
Oh, wow.
I just laughed. 300 candidates. That's wow. Anyway, he planted that seed and said, we'll stay in touch as it develops. And we stayed in touch. And the more I learned about the organization, what I realized was they got a lot of attention after the film named after their work came out. And they needed a plan and they needed a leader to help it advance.
So let's talk about Kiss the Ground. What's your elevator pitch to get people excited?
Depends who I'm talking to, but what we're going to go with today is chronic illness. We're not well. Mm-hmm. Human health is not thriving, and there's a direct correlation to our food system. And people have started to learn the correlation between gut health and overall health. And now we're making the connection between soil health and gut health. Mm-hmm. So soil health as a very meaningful indicator of animal health, planetary health, and ultimately human health through diet. And our food system needs a redo. Mm-hmm. We are at a moment where people are craving foods. Of course that tastes good, but people are understanding the connection between their wellness and the foods and how those foods are being produced. So that's really the story we're telling, is that healthy soil leads to healthy animals, healthy humans, healthy planet.
And I, you know, until I found Kiss the Ground and started looking at regenerative agriculture, I don't know if I understood the idea of soil, because to me it's like dirt, and you have dirt and you grow plants. But the life of soil was fascinating to me. And can you talk a bit about what healing soil or what soil needs to really create healthier food for people?
So the truth of the matter is, I never thought about it like you. Mm-hmm. I thought, dirt, what's even going on here? But then when I learned that our current industrial agriculture practices are drying out the soil, the monoculture, one crop, fields and fields, thousands of acres mm-hmm. of all corn or all wheat, deplete the soil. Mm-hmm. And now what we're left with is a lot of unhealthy soil. And when you have unhealthy soil, when rain comes, it runs off. It doesn't get absorbed by the ground. And you're using all of these chemicals in industrial practices now to make up for the fact that the soil is not performing the way healthy soil does. When you have crops being rotated, when you have animals integrated on that farm, when you have multi-crop, when you have the ground always covered, so you go from one season of one crop production onto the next crop production, you have very naturally manure is feeding the soil from the animals, and by having a diverse array of crops, I'll use some terms now, sequestering okay. carbon, mm-hmm. which is fueling the life under the soil, the microbial activity, to really form an ecosystem mm-hmm. that is enhancing the soil. So when that rain event occurs, exponentially more rain is being absorbed by that healthy soil. And that's where all of the life is living, just as all of that life is living in our gut to digest the foods that we're putting into our body.
If you're just tuning in, my guest today is Evan Harrison. He's the CEO of Kiss the Ground. And the nonprofit, it's not simple, but simply is trying to create awareness in the public about the importance of regenerative farming and regenerative agriculture. And that starts with healing soil that has been damaged through industrial or corporate farming. It seems like really took off after World War II, that the things that were used during World War II, big heavy machinery and tons of chemicals, kind of were turned into our industrial food system. And then we got further and further away from the healthy soil that created food that would sustain us. So I'm curious about I'm going to give you my takeaway, and then you tell me where I am with it, if I got the message. Because what I understand is that as the CEO, you're trying to bring awareness to the public so that people will start to demand, ask for all of their food to be grown through regenerative agricultural practices and therefore in healthy soil. And if the public demands this, then that forces change. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's right. And you talked about Malcolm Gladwell and the tipping point.
Yes.
That's our theory of change. When I came into the organization, there were a lot of different thoughts about what the organization should be. And of course, there's a lot of conversation about carbon sequestration and environmental change and human health, whole host of issues. And we did some research because there was a lot of debate and, some feelings were we should just be storytellers. Some feelings were, no, we should just work exclusively with farmers on education. And then there were some thoughts of, oh, no, we should lobby in D.C. And when we looked at we looked at data. So I said, I was in the space at the Surfrider Foundation. I hadn't heard about this.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we're talking amongst ourselves more than we should. And maybe I like to use the term geeking out. I got into music technology early, and we could talk about the compression of files, lossless files versus MP3s. In the end, people just wanted easy access to music. And, what we found was only 4% of the U.S. adult population understood on a A through D multiple choice how to describe regenerative farming. So we said, all right, what else, does the landscape look like? 50% of those polled said, well, environmental concerns are not my problem to fix.
Mm-hmm. Yet, feels too overwhelming.
Right. So 75%, though, said they want to buy foods that make them healthier. Yet this is what got interesting. We asked what terms they look for when trying to get that food that makes them healthier. And 88% responded to fresh and natural, two terms that are just simply marketing terms that are not regulated. Mm-hmm. So we saw the intention to buy foods that make you healthier is there, but there's a huge disconnect in how to do so. And then we went further and found only 8% of those who we polled actually spoke to a farmer, though so many are going to a farmer's market. Mm-hmm. So we said, all right, our theory of change is going to focus on consumer demand. Building consumer demand is something we can affect massive change mm-hmm. with storytelling by meeting people where they're at. And to be a successful storyteller today, you need to be present on every platform every day. So we came up with a content strategy where we acknowledge not everybody wants to watch a two-hour film. Mm-hmm. Not everybody wants to understand the detail of soil health. Not everybody even wants to watch a 10-minute me documentary, which, by the way, that's our sweet spot.
I watched quite a few, so yeah, 10 minutes is great.
Interestingly, on YouTube alone, we've had millions of viewers that are new to any of our content come on, and I think around 80% are watching these films all the way through, which is pretty staggering for the attention span that we have today. So what we said was, all right, we just need to meet people where they're at. So 10-minute films, you're going a little deeper. We have 2-minute reels. We've done over 50 of them now called Five with a Farmer, which is just introducing you to the characters. And it's a vast array of characters. The stereotype of, oh, well, every farmer, if you just read major media outlets, you would think every farmer is over the age of 75 and their kids don't want to take over. We work with such a diverse mix of farmers with so many different crops and so many different challenges that are embracing regenerative. So we put the spotlight on them with a reel we create called Five with a Farmer. And then, for some people, they don't even want to watch a 2-minute film, but they want a guide when they're going to the supermarket. Mm-hmm. So we put out these free resources to help guide you through the confusion when you're searching for eggs or for oils or protein. We do a couple guides a month, and they've proven really popular. And, because I can't compete with people like you who have been doing podcasts for a long time, I decided I would do a thought piece with leaders in the space called 11 with Evan, where I just ask 11 quick questions, 11-minute read. So we're everywhere, publishing content daily now, meeting people where they're at. And you referenced the 20 million people we reached last year. Mm-hmm. 5 million engaged deeply with our content. So we said, all right, it's working now that we've increased our content to daily. So let's follow up on that research and see how the movement is doing towards consumer demand. And what we found was 18 months after we did our first research survey about 3 years ago now, it took about 18 months to follow up with it. We went from 4% understanding to 7%. That gave us a lot. That gave us a skip in our step. We were excited.
Yeah, yeah.
And we then followed up again only 2 months ago. This time in only 12 months, because I had a feeling it just felt like things were gaining. It really felt like things were gaining. And if our audience increased so much, I figured the overall understanding of regenerative agriculture would grow at least a couple of points. We were pretty blown away to see in just 12 months, it grew from 7% to 13% understanding. So 1 in 4 people now says, regenerative agriculture, yeah, I've heard of that. But then when we ask the question, well, can you describe it? 13% from 7% can now describe what regenerative agriculture is. So the movement is gaining steam.
Yeah.
And we are growing consumer demand for that connection where people are now saying, well, is it regenerative?
Instead of, is it organic? There's actually another step beyond that, because organic doesn't necessarily equate to regenerative agriculture.
I do look at regenerative as building off of the great work that the organic movement created, mm-hmm. which is understood by people differently in different places. But I think ultimately what we're saying is we don't want harmful chemicals in our food. Of course not. Why do we want to ingest something that kills pests? Yeah. You know, so we want to we want to know that we're getting food that is both clean from chemicals, but then importantly, nutrient dense. And that's where healthy soil comes in.
So here's my takeaways, since I'm one of your demographic, I guess, of trying to bring about awareness. And having looked at the website and watched the videos, here's what I believe regenerative agriculture is. One, no tilling, which was amazing to me because it seems like when you picture farming, you picture them tilling up the soil. So it was so interesting to discover that the tilling of the soil just kills all of the connections of the weeds that grow in and the microbes that they absorb into the soil. Fascinating.
So let's take them one at a time.
I know. Okay.
No tilling.
Yes.
So the concept is least disturbance possible because every farm is facing different challenges. I've talked to a lot of farmers who talk about how the, you know, right up the street, 100-foot gain in altitude is going to change the composition of the challenges they have on their farm. So we refer to it as least disturbance. Regenerative is about get on the train.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be inclusive. Let's encourage everybody and shame instead of shaming everybody for perfection, because there's a lot of trial and error. There's a real art in regenerative farming. There is no one size fits all. So trying to have least disturbance of what nature does on its own is a key principle.
I love that. Because one of the other principles I learned afterwards was the idea of understanding context, which is what you're talking about, that each farmer and each ranch and each piece of land has different ways of accessing and regenerating the soil. But I like the least disturbance because we don't want to get rid of the topsoil, basically. We don't want the erosion and we don't want to lose the nutrients. The second takeaway I had was that we are going to maintain the living roots year-round by having cover plants, which I thought was interesting because my understanding growing up was that we wanted to weed everything, make sure that the, you know, soil or the ground for your garden, even at home, was weed free. But this idea that by having cover plants, that there was always something growing and covering the ground actually fed the soil. I thought that was fascinating.
That's right. So covered above
mm-hmm.
and then strong roots below. So the covered above, cover crops are actually used in, you know, so many different uses. But the thinking very simply is in nature, you don't see much land that has completely barren soil. Nature wants something to be there. And when you're using cover crops in between your primary crop mm-hmm. and you're rotating, you're sequestering carbon, which feeds the soil. And you know, you're able to, with that, absorb more water when the rain comes. It's a core practice.
Which I also found was fascinating, the idea of being able, because it rains doesn't mean that the rain is actually getting into and being able to feed or nurture the soil, that having those cover crops and the microbes and the organisms that are all alive under the surface, they're able to pull and hold the water so that it's actually usable and not just running off. Fascinating. The third thing that takeaway I had was no chemicals, that we should not be using pesticides, herbicides, insecticides, because that ultimately kills the soil itself.
That's correct. So there are a lot of harmful chemicals that have been brought into, you know, the industrial agriculture system based on necessity for solving problems because the soil health is not there. So by having the, there are a lot of different techniques to move away from the chemical inputs. And the chemical inputs, you know, from fertilizer to the various sprays are incredibly expensive.
Mm. Well, and that's part of the information that I read was about how many farmers live in debt because they have to utilize the chemicals, and they have to get the special seeds now that have been modified to grow in dirt that's not healthy or to soil that's not healthy. And so almost like it's a setup for farmers to have to grow industrial types of food. But just by removing the chemicals and restoring the soil, they had no need for specialized seeds or spending millions of dollars on chemicals every year. And in ways, the farmers were each saving almost $1 million just in changing their farming practice.
We've worked with farmers and we've documented in our many documentaries a farm in Delaware the size, literally the farm is so large. Industrial practices, sells products to the pet food industry, among so many others. They started with a trial of a couple hundred acres of large rows, 18 inches between the rows of the crops. And by starting with cover crops and healing the soil that way, they noted when the first rain came that they were able to absorb, you know, 3x more than other parts of the farm. And that was great. But the part that was really eye-opening was, and while our what's referred to as yield, so because it's wider rows, there's less crops being developed or produced. Yet because of the cost savings from not using those chemical inputs, there is less cash outlay, so it will be cash flow positive the first time. He then went on and took his couple hundred acre test, which, by the way, he did right by the road, so the whole community would be talking about what's he doing? Mm-hmm. What's the Schiff family farm doing right now? He wanted the community to participate in the conversation. He then went on and moved on to extend that practice to hundreds of acres and eventually thousands.
You're listening to my guest, Evan Harrison. He is the CEO of Kiss the Ground, a nonprofit working to bring about awareness and inspire more interest in regenerative farming. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. And we're going to take a quick break, come back, and continue our conversation right here on Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
Whoa, oh, mercy, mercy me. Oh. Things ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Whoa, mercy, mercy me. Mercy. All things ain't what they used to be now. Oil wasted on the oceans and upon our seas. Fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy me. Our things ain't what they used to be. Not small. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby are alive.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. And if you'd like to be part of the conversation, our number is 805-781-3875 to talk to my guest, Evan Harrison. So just to remind you, Evan is the CEO of Kiss the Ground, which is the leading nonprofit currently championing, I can't say that word, regeneration and healthy soil as a solution for human and planetary health, which is what I kicked off the show talking about, is how do we as the elders in our communities bring about a sense of hope for the future for the generations coming up behind us. And this idea of regenerating the soil, this simple act of healing where our food is grown so that the food itself is nutrient dense and more healthy, and then healing people on ways they've been suffering without understanding that all the food they're taking in is the thing that's harming them. So this is the pathway. And Evan jumped in since 2022. You have made a giant change in people's understanding. We're talking about kind of the core principles of regenerative farming. We talked about minimizing soil disturbance, maintaining living roots year-round by using cover crops and making sure that the fields have something growing all the time that that burrows in and creates microbes in the soil and helps them grow. We talked about not using pesticides, insecticides, herbicides, which just kills the soil and makes the food less healthy. And then the other one I found fascinating is the integration of livestock into the process of the regenerative farming, because the livestock itself brings important pieces to the health of the soil biome. Talk about that.
Yeah.
Because so, I think vegetarians all over are going, what?
It, you know, I think back to the farms I visited when I was a kid in upstate New York, even in my town in central New Jersey. We had farms that had chickens, pigs, cows. And when the animals are being regeneratively grazing on healthy grasses, their manure acts as fertilizer, and their hoofs, or, you know, they're breaking up the ground, which is really what some of the industrial practices are mimicking. So, you know, we just we released a film on regenerative grazed animals with amazing, you know, able to eat amazing grasses, and the nutrient density and the taste of that beef after these are actually retired dairy cows.
I watched that video. I was going to ask you about it.
Yeah. So Dan Barber, who's an award-winning chef, you know, I can't say enough about Dan. I mean, he's influenced so many. He really helped bring the term farm to table to the mainstream. You know, he was doing a bit of an experiment, and I read an article in the New York Times about it. We started talking, and we brought that story to film. And, you know, the thinking very simply is, as a chef, of course people want something that's going to taste amazing. And, you know, if you have retired dairy cows that are, you know, typically their life would end when they dry, well, what if they are regeneratively grazing on these lush, nutrient-dense grasses? Like, what are they like at the end of their life then, from a taste perspective? And his feeling as a chef was, this can be as good, if not better, than Wagyu. And we documented that film, and I've tried it, and I got to tell you, it is some of the best-tasting steak. And what he likes to talk about is that it is so – it's just so natural, and – when you're satiated that way, you're eating less meat in the end.
Well, and I also remember in one of the videos was that the cattle grazing and the other farm animals mimics what the bison, buffalo, had done for centuries across the United States, that their movements and herds had kind of moved the soil and created the fertilizer in a way that kept the food nutrient rich. So that's really what the regenerative sounds like livestock practices are working towards, that these indigenous practices are kind of what we're moving back to.
None of what we're talking about is new.
No, absolutely not.
It's all about letting nature do its thing and really acknowledging that farming in healthy soil with an ecosystem approach and having a vast array of species is what it's what the animals want, it's what the soil wants, and it's what we want for health.
And unfortunately, I guess the challenge in all of these things, even though they're not new, they are ancient practices, when there's corporate money involved and, you know, big industrial complexes involved, it's harder, it seems, to get back to the simple answers, because people, I don't know, don't believe that things can be simple answers anymore. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. Our number is 805-781-3875. Ron, you're on the air with Evan Harrison. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thanks for taking my call. I'm driving right now, so I hope that doesn't interfere.
I hear you. Just what's on your mind?
Okay. First, I wanted to say I agree with your guest. I believe all of what he said is correct and it's wonderful. However, there's one thing that is missing in the conversation, and that is the population. The population from 19, I just checked this today, the population in 1980, that's my lifetime, and the the population of the planet was 4 billion in 1980, and now it's 8 billion, and that's only 25 or so years. And when I was in college, I was taking a chemistry class, and we brought the topic up of organic farming, et cetera, and the instructor said, well, we got to feed the whole planet. Hmm. And so we've got to use some other methods. We can't do it all with organic farming. And so I see the common denominator of all the problems that we're having today is the population. The population's out of control.
I appreciate that, Ron. I'm going to let Evan comment on that, because one of the things that I learned looking through the videos was that a lot of the belief about regenerative agriculture or organic was fed through the universities to their students by the corporations that wanted them to believe that we had to use industrialized farming to keep up with population.
That's right.
It's not that the...
Yeah, no, Ron, listen, the industrial practices came from a good place, right? It was about answering that very issue that you're describing. And I think... there wasn't an understanding from the beginning, like, uh-oh, what's this going to do to our soil? Are we going to need to now create, you know, GMO? Are we going to have to modify, you know, seeds? Because when we use the chemicals to keep away the critters, we're now, like, killing the product itself. Are we going to have to modify seeds because of that? I don't think all of that was the intention by any stretch. That said, I don't advocate for every farm needs to be regenerative practices. I think we need a balance. And the more sourcing that is coming from local regenerative organic farms, the better for our health and the better for the animals and the better for the soil. It's not going to happen overnight. And, you know, it's a meaningful part of the solution, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the history of modernization of anything, that there's a great idea of, oh, we have a problem, here's how we can fix it. But the unintended consequences of the fix then are looked at later, which is what we see now in just looking at the use of Roundup and other, you know, pesticides. You know, there's plenty of information research showing that Roundup is a toxin that causes cancer. And so now how do we backtrack out of that to grow crops that are then healthy for people? I mean, I think we're in the midst of, and Kiss the Ground is part of this, of trying to kind of heal or bring back solutions to this idea we need to feed the whole planet. But in that process, we've now created this chemical problem that's killing people. And now we're trying to find that middle ground, is what I'm hearing you say.
That's correct. And I would also say we're not talking about something in theory at this point.
Right.
There are hundreds of regenerative products on shelves right now, ranging from Costco to independent grocers. Across the country.
Is it labeled that? How do people know?
There are certifications. Mm-hmm. There's a host of certifications. And some products, we have some partners that, you know, they haven't – the supply chain is not there yet.
Okay.
So the industry is still in the earlier days, but is definitely not in the just theory stage.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would say is you've got hundreds of SKUs out there. Some of them have a regenerative certification on them. Some of them talk about supporting regenerative agriculture, you know, and supporting the work of Kiss the Ground. And what we encourage all of our partners and every consumer brand out there is don't wait for perfection to start R&D and to start talking about regenerative to your audiences. Do it responsibly. Don't make claims. Mm-hmm. It's not about the we are regenerative. Most of the companies we work with that have certified regenerative SKUs still have some SKUs that aren't certified regenerative
right.
yet. So it's not going to all happen overnight. That said, the supply chain is already changing rapidly. A lot of companies are doing R&D. We announced separate research a while back that talked about how many companies and farmers are talking about regenerative agriculture, and hockey sticked. It went from dozens when it was first measured to over 1,000 now. So the supply chain is changing. Consumer awareness and understanding has grown threefold in just the last 3 years. And you can only you can see where this is all going.
Go ahead. If for people who are just, you know, learning today about Kiss the Ground and the work, they can go to Kiss the Ground's website because you have so many resources for people to engage with and to get more information. You have a section that talks about storytelling, a section about education and the courses that you're offering, and then the partnerships that you've made. And one of the things on the website is a map of all of the farms that have registered with you as doing regenerative practices right now. And I found that there's actually two locally that are part of the Kiss the Ground farm map. One is 46 Ranch, which is up in Templeton, and they've got 250 acres and they have 10 currently in regenerative management. And that sounds like what you're talking about is it doesn't have to be all at once. They're doing it in pieces. And then the Avenales Ranch, which has been around since 1875, they're out in Santa Margarita. They have 18,000 acres, and all 18,000 are regenerative acres that are managed. And they specialize in grass-fed organic beef and pork and sheep, and they also do wines. And it's the Sinton family, who were once the Sinsheimer family, which will mean something to a lot of people. So going to the website, I think, Evan, is probably a great way for people to start kind of expanding their understanding.
Yeah, I would say kisstheground.com has a ton of content and information. And, you know, if you like getting emails, you sign up for our email, you'll get something from us that certainly inspires, educates, and informs every week. Or just follow us on your favorite social media platform as well. We're in all the places every day with different inspirational, educational messages to bring people closer to why, what this is doing for your personal health, what it's doing for planetary health, and prosperity for farmers. You mentioned the map. After reaching 20 million people last year, we said, okay, now it's all about engaging those who are interested to support the work we can do so we can get to the tipping point. For every $10 we raise, that helps transition an acre of land to regenerative. Wow. And last year, we operated at a surplus, and we donated $500,000 directly to small farmers that, you know, hundreds of farmers with different products, different acreage across the country. And that $500,000 went to $25,000 to buy equipment needed to do regenerative, $30,000 to buy more hogs, nutrient density testing to see if the produce being grown in Georgia is more nutrient dense. So that $500,000 helped lead to the transition of 76,000 acres. So, we said, okay, you can support our work directly, or we want to put the farms on a map. Mm-hmm. So we currently have about 260. By the end of the year, we'll have about 500 on the map. Our farmer relations board of advisors vets every farm to say, hey, are they at least participating with three practices? And when you go to our map, you can see what is their produce, what is their product, are they selling protein boxes, are they selling fruits and vegetables, how can I purchase directly from that farm in my local community, or can I go and volunteer there? So all of these ways of helping are incredibly effective. Donating to us, you know where the money's going. Supporting a local farm, you're supporting the community and you're eating in a healthier way. And then finally, we have a product list for when you're going to the market, so you can distill what are the regenerative brands, because as you mentioned, they don't all have the logo.
So when people go into the website, one of the things that grabbed me was the education aspect, because you have actual courses if people wanted to even do their own backyard regenerative healing of their soil. And I love that, just starting really local for someone to, because it doesn't have to be, as you said, a change at the industrial complex level. It can just be in these small ways. And I think it's so exciting just for a family backyard plot to heal their soil and have the earthworms growing and having the soil change and the kids getting their hands in it. Because one of the things that I learned early on when we were, you know, studying adolescent development was that human children need to have those first 5 years, 0 to 5, connected to the earth, because human babies aren't born with their brains fully developed. They actually still have almost 3/4 of their brain development to happen. And their connection to being in the ground and touching the dirt and eating the soil, and that improves their immune systems and it makes them connected to the world around them and being aware of plants and animals. Like, that's how we keep that human nature connection. So I love the idea that someone can go to your website and look at the courses and start on their own just by creating a more soil-friendly backyard.
Yeah, we thought it was critically important to put the farms on a map. And if somebody wants to, you know, watch the video of that farm, great.
But I love the just videos of the farms.
Yeah, it's inspirational. And some people want to get soil under their nails and go out there together as a family and volunteer, or just take a farm tour.
And let's talk about the storytelling piece, because that's where we started with this at the beginning, that you came to Kiss the Ground with a background in being able to get stories out and create awareness for people. So what are some of the stories that have been most impactful in reaching people, getting them excited?
The mini documentaries are really hitting a sweet spot for us, because we're able to go deep and really talk about a challenge and how that challenge is being overcome. So we're able to, in 10 minutes, really humanize the characters who are participating in regeneration, and also talk about something that matters to everybody, which is their health and wellness, and how it all ties together. So, you know, if somebody would have said to me 10 years ago, did you know our food system, the way it is today, is not sustainable, and a lot of it has to do with our soil turning to dirt and depleted soil, I would have just said, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Exactly.
So, you know, we have to tell these stories in a way that speak to people who don't just want, certainly don't want to lecture, but want to be inspired and want to learn why this is applicable to us all for our health.
I loved one of the stories, and I'm not sure if it's in the documentary, in the stories, the man told about regenerating his property to the point where the cover crops were bringing in plants that he didn't plant, that these seeds almost were waiting to wake up again to start growing. And aspen trees started growing along the creek bed, which created shade, which meant that the fish were healthier. This is all in Salmon, Idaho. And the fish returned. And then he said, the beaver came. And I don't know where they came from, but all of a sudden the beavers were on my property. And that was a sign that this whole land had been healed. And I cried. It was like, that's what I want my grandchildren to experience, to see that it can be healed and regenerated in a way that life goes on.
The ecosystem is really strong, and when we let nature do what nature wants to do, it's pretty amazing what happens.
So in our last couple of minutes, Evan Harrison, CEO of Kiss the Ground, how has this job changed you?
It's really rewarding in that, you know, everybody who works, we're small and mighty. We're 8 full-time employees, and, you know, there are about 25 of us, inclusive contractors, who work on this every day. And we're all incredibly passionate about, not about perfection, but about promoting a balance to get back, you know, a healthy environment and healthy humans. And for me to be able to teach, you know, our team, what I've learned, because I have 10, 15, 20 more years of experience in getting messages out, in reaching people where they're at, and inspiring people with messages. You know, it's very different form of storytelling than introducing a new artist or letting people know that one of their favorite artists has something new out that they should give a listen to. Yet at the same time, a lot of the skill set from that storytelling was very applicable here. So what really excites me is just, you know, helping lead a team of people who just care so passionately about the work that we're doing and hearing people react to the content saying, well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty rewarding.
And I imagine that your daughter who introduced you to this is also enjoying this relationship with you and both of your connection to this work.
My daughter, Luli, is now in her first full-time role at I Love a Clean San Diego, doing some amazing work in the community, keeping San Diego clean. And you know, San Diego is one of the most beautiful counties around with so much nature, amazing farms. So it's incredibly rewarding having that commonality. And I think that the biggest thing is I like to think back to when I took my family to the farmer's market and we talked to the farmer at the farmer's market and, you know, to now be working directly with so many farmers and you know, just last year in 1 year, knowing that we changed the lives of so many farmers who needed that $500,000 to get over the hurdle mm-hmm. to now start on the journey. And we're telling the stories of how they're transitioning their land right now. And each story is more inspirational than the last.
Evan Harrison, thank you so much for spending the hour with me. I appreciate you. KissTheGround.com is where you get started to find out more information. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this has been a conversation with a reluctant therapist. And you can send me an email to Elizabeth@TheReluctantTherapist.com. Send me a message through Instagram or Facebook. And as always, you can podcast our show. But thank you for tuning in and supporting and listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
Don't give up. I know you can see. All the world and the mess that we're making. Can't give up and hope God will intercede. Come on back. Imagine that we could get it together and stand up for where we need to be. 'Cause crying won't save or feed a hungry child. Can't lay down and wait for a miracle to change things. So lift up your eyes, lift up your heart, singing, mercy, will we overcome this? Oh, one by one, could we turn it around? Maybe carry on just a little bit longer, and I'll try to give you what you need. Me and you, and you, and you. I just wanna be free, yeah, yeah. But you see, all the world is just as we've made it. And until we got a new world, I got to say that love is not a whisper or a weakness. No, love is strong. And we got to get together, yeah. Gotta get, gotta get, gotta get. Till there is no reason.